Today we're actually beginning week four. Today is the kickoff of week four of our current spiritual life growth campaign called 40 Days in the Word. 40 Days in the Word. Some people have come up to me and said, man, I wish we would have had that campaign 10 years ago. I could have really used that in my life. But I'm just so grateful that God's just touching people right where they're at, okay? So the goal of the campaign, by the way, if you have notes, let's follow together here. The goal of the campaign is threefold. That is, we want to help you to love the Word. We want to help you to learn the Word. And number three, and this is the ultimate outcome that we want to see. We want to see people, everybody together, live the Word, okay? It's not enough just to love and learn the Word. We want to ultimately be people that are living out the Word, not only here on Sunday morning, but I think even more importantly, we're living out the Word in our homes. We're living out the Word in our relationship with our spouses, our kids. Man, I tell you what, sometimes that's my biggest place where I need to live it out more than any. I need to be living it out better with my family than I am here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because my wife and my kids, that's my first ministry. You understand that? That's my very first ministry. If my wife thinks I'm a phony, that's not good. And I want my wife to see Jesus in me. I want my kids to see the Lord in me. So we want to ultimately help you love, learn, but live the Word out. So what I want to do today is I'm totally getting away from the material that Rick Warren sent. I want to go my own way today. Is that okay? Okay. So what I'm going to do today is I want to look at a parable. And in this parable that we're going to look at, Jesus helps us to see that there's different responses to the Word of God. How many people know every time people hear the Word, people respond to the Word differently? They respond to the Word differently. And what I want to do today is I want to just share a parable that Jesus taught. It was actually his very first parable. I was reading this week, Jesus probably taught with parables over 60 times. But today we're going to look at the very first parable of Jesus Christ. And a parable is simply an earthly story that people can relate to that has a spiritual meaning, spiritual truth behind it, okay? So if you have your Bibles today, I want to encourage you. I know the scriptures are on the screen, but there's something about opening a Bible. How many people know there's still paper Bibles out there? How many people still have a paper Bible? They're good, aren't they? So I want you to open up to Mark chapter 4, and we're going to look at this parable that the original listeners or hearers of this parable, they would have immediately related to what Jesus was talking about. Immediately they would have said, wow, we understand that. We see it all the time. So what I want to do is we're going to break the parable into two pieces. The first piece will be Mark 1 through, I think it's 9. And then we're going to look at the, Jesus is going to tell us what the parable means in Mark chapter, the same chapter, but verses 14 through 20, okay? So I have a few visual illustrations this morning to help you out. They'll be on that table as we go along. But let's just, let's read the scripture. But before we do, let's pray for big time help. Amen? Help for me, help for you to hear. Father, thank you for your word. We know there's power in the word. We know there's power in the word. That's absolutely undeniable. So Lord, we just ask that you'd be in these moments. Be in these moments. Lord, I've done my best to prepare this week now. I'm just resting and leaning into you, Holy Spirit, to do what only you can do. Bring the word alive. Give it a heartbeat. Give it a pulse. May it come alive within us. And be with those who are here today to listen. Lord, may we have ears, as Jesus will say in this parable, give us ears that not only hear, but we listen. We listen. We just lean in. Father, we just give you this time. And it's in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So let's look at it. Mark 4, Jesus Christ is the speaker here. It says, once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. How many people want to go to that church? Lakeside Assembly. It says, a very large crowd soon gathered around him. So what did Jesus do? He got into a boat, and then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. So visualize this. Jesus is in a boat, maybe like 5 yards out. Everybody else is gathered around to listen. The crowds are just humongous, okay? Verse 2, we're told that Jesus taught them by telling many stories. And these stories were in the form of parables, such as the one we're going to look at here today. Jesus began to speak to the crowd. So you need to understand, first group of people that he's speaking to is the masses, the multitudes, the crowds. So Jesus says, listen, meaning do more than just hear words, la-da-da-da, just words, yada-yada-yada, but really listen in. He said a farmer went out to plant some seed. So in that day, what a farmer would do, he would have a belt around his waist, a pouch, and he would just put a handful of seed in his hand, and he would just kind of walk through his field and spread it out. He had a gift of being able to do that. He didn't have the farm equipment we have today. And it says, as he scattered it across his field, we're told that some seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. I want you to remember the first type of seed is what? Everybody together is what? A footpath. So I got a shoe, just to help you remember, a footpath where a lot of people would have walked. So there's the first type of soil, okay? Let's pick it up in verse 5. Other seed fell on what kind of soil? Everybody together. Shallow soil with underlying what? Rock. It said the seed sprouted quickly because the soil was very shallow, but the plant soon withered under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, the result is it died. So we see here we have the seed that fell on the shallow soil that had underlying rock. So we have a rock here. I just want you to, that's the second type of soil is a rock. Okay? Let's pick it up in verse 7. Other soil fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. So here we have, and be very careful, we have thorns. That was the third type of soil, was the thorns. Okay? Verse 8, still other seed fell on fertile soil. Everybody say fertile soil. And they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much that has been planted. So I didn't have fertile soil, but I went out and looked for something that was really good. So I got these. I got Twinkies, okay? Twinkies, that's good soil. It's good stuff. So what we have is the footpath, the shallow with rock, the thorns, and the fertile soil. Then Jesus said, anyone who has ears to hear, he's not just talking about physical ears. I think even more importantly, he's talking about, do you have spiritual ears? Okay, spiritual ears. They should listen and understand. So let's stop there. That's the first part of the parable that Jesus spoke to the multitudes, okay? And before we read the interpretation or the rest of it, the explanation, let me stop and ask you a question here this morning just to plant a seed to get you thinking, and that is this. Why do farmers plant seed? Don't answer it out loud, but just think. Why do farmers go out and plant seed? And I think we're all very educated, smart people. We know that's a very obvious answer. The obvious answer is this, because they want to produce a crop. Farmers go out, and everybody say, wow, that's deep. They go out, they plant seed because they want to produce a crop. So not only did the original listeners of the story of Jesus, not only did they understand this, but I want to let you know we understand it. I mean, we live in a beautiful, beautiful part of the country, don't we? I mean, every year in the spring, we drive by fields. I mean, they're all over. We're surrounded by farm fields, and we see farmers go out and farmers plow up the food or the field. They fertilize it, they prepare it, then they plant the seed. And their hope is this, that in about 3, 4, 5 months, that they'll be able to come back and they'll be able to produce and harvest a crop. That's the goal, okay? But here's the thing. If you look back to the story, and I want you to see this, please, in the natural. In the natural, if you look back on this story, there was only one type of soil that produced a crop. Out of the four types of soil, footpath, rock, thorns, and the good soil, there was only one type of seed that produced a crop, and that was the Twinkies, the fertile soil. What I want you to see here, I want to be very serious about this morning. What I want you to see here, the other three types of soil were unproductive. The other three types of soil were unproductive. Yet the farmer every year would do the same thing. Every year he would go through the same routine. Every year he would put his pouch around his waist with its seed. Every year he would know what the outcome would be. But he would walk through those same fields, his field, and he would scatter the seed, okay? And so what I want to do is I want to move on now. But before we move on, I want to point out something that really struck me this week as very, it was like I had an aha moment. And that is, Jesus often told his parables, even this one, he told his parables to who? The multitudes. Meaning, there were thousands of people that heard the first part of the parable, the story. But oftentimes, if you read the New Testament, if you read the gospel, Jesus explained the parables to who? The disciples in private. So he tells the first part of the story to everyone that can listen, everyone who can hear. But at the end of the day, when it was time to interpret the story, give the explanation, it was only about 12 guys. And it was those 12 guys that had privy to hear what it really meant. And I was thinking about that this week. I want to let you know, folks, we're blessed. We're blessed. You know what I'm about ready to say? We're blessed because we not only get to hear the front part of the story, we're blessed because we have the Word of God. It's available to us so that we can read what the whole story means. So that's what I want to do today. Let's look at verse 14. This is the interpretation. This is the explanation. This is what we get. We're with the disciples today. We get to hear this. This is amazing. It says, the farmer plants seed, and he does that by taking God's word to others. Everybody say God's word. God's word. Verse 15, the seed that fell upon the footpath, what does that represent? He said, it represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once, and he does what? He takes it away. Verse 16, the seed that falls upon rocky soil represents those who hear the message, and immediately they get excited. They receive it with joy. Yes, I want Jesus. Verse 17, but since they don't have deep roots, guess what happens? They don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems, or they're persecuted for believing God's word. Verse 18, the seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by three things: the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. In verse 20, Jesus explains, and he says, the seed fell on good soil, represents people who hear, and I love the next word, and they what? Accept. They're not only hearing God's word, but when they hear God's word, there's something deeper going on in their heads and in their hearts. And not only hearing words, they're accepting the word of God into their life, meaning they're putting it into practice, they're obeying it, they're getting into it. They accept God's word and they produce a harvest, and it's a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much that has been planted. What a beautiful story. I want to point out two things. It's in your notes. Two things I want to point out. First of all, I want to talk about the seed. In the first story where Jesus told the story to the multitudes, the seed actually represented what? A literal seed. Literally. A farmer went out, scattered, maybe it was corn, maybe it was wheat, maybe it was soybeans. But in the interpretation, what is the seed? Look at verse 14. In the interpretation of the story, Jesus says the seed represents what? Everybody together, the Word of God. The Word of God. That's what the seed represents, the Word of God. Some scholars, some theologians have narrowed it down more specifically to mean it's the gospel. The gospel, meaning the good news that Jesus Christ came into the world, that he died for our sins and he rose again on the third day to offer salvation, to offer this wonderful gift of salvation for those who will repent of their sins and turn and place their faith in Jesus Christ and allow him into their heart. So in the story where the interpretation, the seed is the word of God. I want to make something very clear this morning. The seed is always good. Does everybody hear me? The seed, the Word of God is always good. The Word of God in the story is not the issue. Is that clear? Does somebody just say something? Is that clear? Good. Thank you for your response there. I had to pull it out of you. Okay. I just want to make that clear. We need to understand. The Word is not the issue. The Word is always good. The message is always good. Okay. Second word is the soil. The soil. The soil. I want to talk about the soil. In the story, the soil in the first story is literal dirt, the things of nature. But in the interpretation, the explanation, the soil is what? It's your heart. It's your heart. Okay? The soil represents your heart. And in this story, Jesus tells us that there's how many types of hearts? Everybody, you can say, don't be afraid. Four. There's four types of heart that when it comes to the sowing of God's word. God's word can be sown through a message. God's word can be sown through a Bible study. God's word can be sown through a podcast. God's word can be sown as you sit in your own private place and you read the word of God. So the word is always, it's being sown, and it falls on four different types of heart. And I want to look at these four different types of heart real quickly. Number one, I'm calling it the hard heart. So if you're taking notes, you can put the hard heart, the hard heart. And in verse 15, if you go back and you read, we see that the seed, which is God's word, was sown. People went to church. People picked up their Bibles. People heard a sermon on the internet. The seed was sown. And we're told in that story that it fell on the footpath. It fell on the footpath. Okay? I want to describe to you, I want to explain to you what footpaths are all about when Jesus told this story. This is what it would look like. Farmers would have fields. And what would happen is people would often just walk and make a path through their field. It was a public access, okay? And what would happen over a period of time is that people would walk on that same path day after day after day after day. And as a result, the soil had become like concrete. It had become like a rock. So when the seed fell upon the footpath, that seed had no way that it could penetrate the soil. It was too hard. It was like concrete. It was not favorable conditions. It was a hard heart. And we're told that the birds, which later we see in the interpretation, the birds represent Satan, and he comes at once and he takes away the seed. He takes away the word of God. And I just want to share my heart with you this morning. I want to try to be as transparent and loving as I possibly can and say this, that there are many people today that when it comes to the sowing of God's word, the seed, there's many people who have a hard heart. And you say, yeah, I know a lot of people like that. They're nasty, mean, ugly people. Some of them are in jail and prison. No, I'm not talking about that. I want to let you know there's people who are very friendly, who have, it looks like they have everything together, as the world would say, have your act together. But here's the deal, their hearts are hard. And as a result, and I want to let you know, some of these people, they step in the foot of churches every week. Even in our beautiful, friendly city of River Falls, this bedroom community, a great place to live. Everybody's wonderful. Everybody's nice. But I want to let you know, even people who are walking into churches this morning throughout a city that probably has about 20 different churches, there's still people that are hearing the word of God, but it's falling upon hard hearts. It's falling upon hard hearts. So when they hear the word, it falls upon that hardened heart. And here's what happens. Satan at once comes and he takes away the word so that they can't even begin to understand it. And it really never even gets into their lives. Their heart is hardened. Maybe their heart's hard because of sin that they continue just to live in. Maybe it's because past hurts. Somebody hurt you. You didn't let it go. You didn't forgive them. You had bitterness in your life. Those things are very dangerous, folks, because those things harden our heart. Religion will harden your heart. Religious people have hard hearts. Jesus is looking for a relationship. Do we know the difference, folks? Amen? So we have there's hard hearts. And I was thinking about this week, and I said, Lord, what's the remedy for this? And the remedy is prayer. Prayer. I just want to confess to you today that there's times that I'm concerned about the condition of my heart. People do things that make me upset. And I can hold on to that, and I can even come to my prayer time with God, being ugly about it. And the Lord began to speak to my heart this week. He said, Mike, you better be careful that you don't allow your heart to get hard. So this week, my goal was not to worry about what anybody else was doing in their life, good, bad, or indifference. But my goal in my quiet times this week was to say, Lord, may my heart not be hard. May my heart not be hard. I don't want a hard heart. I want a soft heart. And another thing we need to do is we need to pray for others. We need to pray for people we love, family members, loved ones. God, please don't let their hearts be hard. And God, please soften their hearts. And one of my things that I'm going to begin to do even more and more in my quiet time here in the sanctuary is just to walk through these pews and put my hands on each one of these pews weekly and pray, Lord, may the people that sit in these pews, may their hearts not be hard. Friday night, Nolan and I went grocery shopping for men's ministry, and we went downstairs, and all the chairs, the tables were set up, and Nolan said, Dad, I want to lay my hands on every one of these chairs. So when the guys that sit in these chairs tomorrow come, that they'll be able to receive. Why does a 16-year-old know better than a 53-year-old? I stand here today shamed by my own son. Folks, I want to pray for you every week that when you hear the word of God, that it doesn't fall on a hard heart. Are you hearing me this morning? Let's move through these quickly because I just want to make sure we're right on track. The distracted heart, number two, the distracted heart. Verse 16, we see that the word of God fell on rocky soil, represents those who hear the message and immediately they receive it with great joy. I had the opportunity to be in a service last night where a pastor gave an altar call and over 15 people gave their life to Christ. They had great joy. I was like, wow, yay, God. This is awesome. So people receive it with great joy, but since they don't have what? Look at this together, deep roots. Folks, we need deep roots. Are you hearing me this morning? You need deep roots. I need deep roots. Because if we don't last long. And we fall away as soon as we have problems or we're persecuted. Things don't go our way. That's why I call it a distracted heart. Because I have personally witnessed in my life and several other people's lives that here's what's happened. They've been totally distracted by problems. How many people know we live in a world where we're all going to have problems? How many people have problems? Rest of you, well, I want to live in your world, okay? There's problems. There's times that people oppose what we believe. Especially, I want to let you know, we're living in a culture today that is very politically correct. And we're getting into this big word called, we got to be tolerant. And I'm into being tolerant and loving and kind, but why does tolerance go every direction except towards the Christian? Folks, we're in a real battle. We're in a real battle. And we got to be ready. We got to have deep, deep roots, because when problems and persecution come our way, we got to be having roots that we can stand up against those things. So the remedy to this heart is you have to have deep roots. Because here's what roots do for you. Number two, they gather nutrients from the soil. Number two, they support the weight of a tree. We're told that some trees' roots extend the depth of the height of the tree. If you have a 50-foot tree, you have 50-foot roots into the ground. My thought here today is if you want to go higher with God, it's going to require that you have deeper roots. Are you hearing me this morning? If you want to move on and you want to be great for God, you're going to need a deeper root system. Look at this verse. Paul says in Colossians 2:7, let your roots grow where? Down into him, and let your lives be built. So we need to be careful, because there's a lot of distractions out there. It's easy to be distracted. And as a result, we miss out on the message. We miss out. Third type of heart is the crowded heart. The crowded heart, I believe this is a big one in America today. Verse 18, we read that God's word, the seed fell upon the thorns. And those thorns represent what? Those who hear the word of God. But all too quickly, that message is crowded out. And it's crowded out by worries, the lure of wealth, the desire for things. And as a result, no fruit. No fruit. I call this the crowded heart. We have the message, comes our way, but there's so many other things that come into our lives. And it crowds out the word of God. Folks, we need to understand we're playing for keeps. We're playing for eternity. And Jesus says there's things that come our way all the time, the thorns. And he says some of the thorns are the worries of life. I have worries. You have worries. And what happens is those worries can begin to say gospel, Bible out. The worries begin to dominate. Or there's another one called the lure of wealth. We want to be comfortable. I'm not just talking to rich people. I'm talking to all of us, because we're all rich. This danger of the lure of wealth. Look what it says in 1 Timothy. It says, for the love of money, not money, but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people craving money, look at what has happened, have wandered away from the true faith, and they have pierced themselves with what? Many sorrows. We got to be careful. The lure of wealth could push out the message, can push out the seed of God's word if we're not careful. Here's another one, the desire for other things. How many people have desire for other things? I do. And I want to let you know, a lot of those desires aren't bad desires. It could be good desires. We want good things. We desire good things in our life. We want our kid to be the best athlete. We want our kid to be the best student. We want our kid to be the kindest person. We want our kid to be all these things. And I don't know about you, but as a parent, I can want all these things and the desire for all these things. And what happens is I get so wound up and so caught up into it. And I'm confessing that's happened to me. And what's happened is the word of God has been, crowded out. Crowded out. Folks, we're playing for keep. We're playing for eternity. I'd like to say this, we can get so busy. I really believe the busyness is one of our greatest enemies. But so many times we wear busyness like a badge of courage. I'm busy. How you doing? I'm busy. Well, like we're important because we're busy. You know what? Busyness isn't something to boast about. We need margin in our life, amen? We need to allow God, room for God. Allow room for God. Be busy. Have fun. Go for the gusto. Go after it. But man, there needs to be time for what? The word. The word. Activity. There's so many activities. There's so many things that we can get involved in. I can be involved with so many things. My kids can be involved. My wife can be involved with so many things. But what's the danger is those things can crowd out what's most important. And I hope you're not receiving this message today, Pastor Mike is mad. Please take it the other way. Pastor Mike loves me. Pastor Mike cares enough for me that he's sharing what Jesus taught. Okay? And then there's the fruitful heart. We need to move on. We read that the seed of God's word fell on good soil. It represents those who hear and they accept it, meaning they obey it, they keep it. And it falls on this fruitful heart. It falls on good soil. And here's what God's after. Oh, this is what God's after. God's like that farmer that goes into these fields every spring. God is just like that. He plants a seed because he wants to see a harvest. He wants there to be fruit. And it says that that happens in some people's life, and they produce a harvest of 30, 60, even 100 times what has been planted. Don't raise your hand this morning, but do you want that for yourself? Do you want your life to produce a harvest? Fruit. Here's what fruit does. It brings glory to God. Okay? And I call this the fruitful heart because it produces good, good fruit. So what's good fruit? We're going to end here. What's good fruit? Good fruit is God-pleasing actions. Good fruit is God-pleasing attitudes. Let me say that one again. Good fruit is God-pleasing attitudes. That's fruitful living. Good fruit is God-pleasing words. Good fruit is those things that are pleasing to the Lord. That's my layman's definition of fruit. And that's what God wants in our lives. He wants us to be people that are producing God-pleasing actions, attitudes, and words. Okay? Here's my closing question this morning. You can close your Bible. You can put your notes to the side. I want you to shut your eyes. I want this to be a time of reflection. Let me ask you this. Is your life producing fruit? Is your life producing fruit that brings glory to God? Is your life producing fruit that was pleasing to God? Your words, your actions, your attitudes. Because I want to read a couple verses as you think. Jesus talking in John 15, 16 says, "You didn't choose me. You think you did, but you didn't choose me. I chose you." And check out what he says. "I appointed you to go and produce" what? "Lasting fruit." God chose us so that our lives would go and produce fruit. Lasting fruit. That's what God wants from us. He wants to have our lives produce fruit, lasting fruit, fruit that brings glory and honor and fame to his name. One more verse, Philippians 1:11, Paul talking to the church in Philippi. His prayer is this: "May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation." So there's a fruit that's connected to our salvation. He tells us what it is: the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. "For this will bring much glory and much praise to God." Each week, sermons are planted or preached. Each week, people sit down to read their Bibles. Each week, people go to small groups. Each week, God's word is being sown. It's being scattered. And the thing that blows me away, on 3 of the 4 types of the soil, there's no results. There's no results. But it's only on one type of soil that there's results that are pleasing to God. And that is when it falls on a heart that is fertile, that is soft, that is open, receptive, accepting of God's word. So what I want to do today is I want to be your pastor this morning, and I want to pray for me. I want to pray for you. And my prayer is for you, for me, that your heart would be good soil. So that when you hear the word of God, you listen, you accept it, you put it a part of your DNA, your spiritual DNA, it comes alive in you, it's fruitful. Because my concern is there's going to be one day when we stand before the Lord and there's going to be people who are deceived. But Lord, I did this, I did that or the other, and we're going to miss it. We're going to miss out on the seed, the gospel, the truth. So can I pray for you this morning? Just be comfortable. I'm not trying to agitate you. I'm praying the same prayer I'm praying for myself because the stakes are high. We're playing for keeps. So Father, this morning I come to you. I humble myself. God, I would go as far today as to kneel before you, Father. And I would ask, God, that you would take away the hardness of my heart. God, that you would take away the hardness of any heart that's hard here today. We just humbly bow before you and ask, God, may we not have hard hearts, but would you come by your Spirit? May you come in the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you soften our hearts today in this place? May we be people who are open and receptive to your word. May we be people who are fruit-producing people, attitudes, words, actions. God, may our hearts not be the footpath. May our hearts not be hard. Lord, may our hearts not be in the thorns. But Lord, may we have a good heart. And Father, I pray that for myself. I pray that for Heather. I pray that for Grant. I pray that for Nolan. I pray that for every person in this church this morning. Give us a good heart by the power of your Spirit. May our hearts be soft once again. May our hearts be soft once again. Come, Holy Spirit. Touch my heart. Touch the heart of each one here this morning. May we be fruit-producing, God-honoring people. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come by your Spirit and be at work today. Amen.